Penguin Random House Audio presents White House Inc. How Donald Trump Turned the Presidency into a Business by Dan Alexander. Read for you by Noah Michael Levine. Publisher's note: this audiobook contains a PDF file comprised of the images from the print edition of this book. Please download this PDF from your digital retailer as a reference. To my wife, Kate, the kindest person in the world, and to Mrs. Boone, my high school journalism teacher. Author's note: at a time when journalism is under fire, I believe it is important for reporters to show their work. To that end, I have included an unusual number of endnotes throughout the book. As you will hear, this account is based primarily upon documents buttressed by interviews. It includes hundreds of financial figures. All estimates for the value of assets are as of March 1, 2020, unless otherwise indicated. Outside fact-checkers spent months reviewing every line of the book. The White House received a detailed list of questions before publication. A spokesperson responded, "These are all questions for Trump Org." The Trump Organization did not respond to requests for comment. Prologue. In the heart of San Francisco's financial district, a few blocks from the Transamerica Pyramid Center that defines the city's skyline, sits a 52-story tower, the kind you might find in any major city. Its name, 555 California Street, is as forgettable as its appearance, all brown and black and boring. Inside, a team of security guards watches over the elevator banks in the lobby, checking IDs. They are protecting more than just office space. To get past them and into the heart of the building, I signed up for a desk in a co-working space on the 49th floor before arriving. Once there, I ride down to a different floor, the 43rd, and walk off the elevator. Before me stands a pristine office with shiny concrete floors, subdued gray couches, empty chairs, and a sign that spells out Qatar Investment Authority Advisory, USA, Inc., and in smaller type, a subsidiary of the Qatar Investment Authority. Nothing inside the place looks as if it has been touched. There is a marble welcome desk, but no one to welcome visitors. On top of the counter rests a plant that looks like it has been dead for months. I wrap my knuckles on the glass doors to see if anyone is inside. No one answers, even though it's the middle of the afternoon. The next day, in the morning, I return to the same scene. Again, I knock, and again, no one answers. Why would anyone, much less an entity that serves as an arm of the Qatari government, bother outfitting an empty office in an expensive San Francisco skyscraper? Well, consider who owns the building. The lobby features signs for Vornado Realty Trust, the publicly traded firm with innumerable shareholders that has a 70% stake in the tower. The other 30% belongs to a single man, Donald J. Trump, the President of the United States. His interest here is worth an estimated $517 million after debt, making it the most valuable asset in his entire portfolio. It's worth more than twice as much as Trump Tower, 6 times as much as Trump's Doral Golf Resort in Miami, 17 times as much as his hotel in Washington, D.C. The amount Qatar pays in rent remains a mystery. Odds are it adds up to a sum most billionaires not named Trump would hardly notice. According to a Vornado document, the office is just 5,557 square feet. If the Qataris are paying the average rate in the building, that would amount to $450,000 a year, and Trump's 30% would total $135,000. The money does not flow directly. Instead, it appears to go from the U.S. subsidiary of the Qatar Investment Authority, a sovereign wealth fund, to HWA 555 Owners LLC. According to filings Trump sent to federal ethics officials, the Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust owns 30% of HWA 555 Owners LLC. And that trust, according to documents the Trump Organization submitted to authorities in Washington, D.C., was set up to hold assets for the exclusive benefit of Donald J. Trump. Trump, in other words, personally holds 30% of the space the Qataris are leasing. Strip away the layers, and it boils down to just the sort of arrangement the Founding Fathers feared. A foreign government, it seems, has been secretly paying the President of the United States for more than a year. Yet, with so many other scandals brewing, this one has managed to go entirely undetected until now. In order to understand why Qatar might want to funnel cash to the president, it's important to first understand U.S.-Qatari relations. A peninsula hanging off Saudi Arabia, smaller than the state of Connecticut, Qatar has played an outsized role in global politics for one reason: money. There are 77% more natural gas reserves sitting under Qatar than under the entire United States, helping make Qatar, on a per capita basis, the second richest nation on earth. Although Qatar doesn't share many American values, monarchs rule the country, and its labor abuses are legendary, it has long been an ally of the United States. Qatari troops fought alongside Americans in the Gulf War. Afterward, the tiny nation spent more than $8 billion on a military base hosting American troops near Doha, the Qatari capital, which has been a key center for operations in Afghanistan and Syria. America has other allies in the region, of course, including Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. But for years, the allies have been sparring among themselves. In 2014, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain pulled their ambassadors from Qatar, accusing the country of backing terrorists. In May 2017, Trump took his first trip overseas as president, visiting Saudi Arabia, a nation that had recently pumped more than $270,000 into the Trump International Hotel. In early June, the Saudis and several other Middle Eastern nations collectively cut off diplomatic ties with Qatar. Saudi Arabia also shut down its border with its neighbor, turning Qatar into a virtual island. President Trump left little doubt about whose side he was on in the dispute. "During my recent trip to the Middle East, I stated that there can no longer be funding of radical ideology," he tweeted in June 2017. "Leaders pointed to Qatar. Look." Qatar denied the charges and worked to defend its reputation, shelling out hundreds of thousands of dollars to lobbyists to vouch for the embattled nation in Washington. The Qataris also struck deals with American companies like Boeing and Raytheon, and, in a move that managed to evade detection, they figured out how to rent space inside Trump's most valuable property, apparently directing money to the President of the United States. The Qataris finished outfitting their new office space on the 43rd floor sometime after February 2018, when the Saudi dispute was still raging, according to someone who worked inside the skyscraper. In August 2018, Trump's partner Vornado filed a document with San Francisco officials about work being done on the premises, describing the Qatar Investment Authority Advisory USA Inc. as a lessee. Construction crews built out an office complete with intricate white lattice work in the entryway. After the hammer stopped banging, however, the space went unusually quiet. "I never saw a single person enter the office other than construction," the person who worked in the building explained in a text message. "I travel a lot, so I could have missed it, but definitely saw people in other offices. Always thought it was strange," the source added. Also strange, the lobby's long list of tenants made no mention of the Qatar Investment Authority. The website for the Qatar Investment Authority listed an office in New York, but it didn't say anything about one in San Francisco. When asked about this deal and others, a spokesperson for the White House replied in an email, "These are all questions for Trump Org, not the White House." For its part, the Trump Organization did not respond to a long list of questions. Spokespeople for Vornado and the Qatar Investment Authority declined to comment. It's unclear what, if anything, goes on inside the space that the Qatar Investment Authority is leasing. Regardless, the arrangement may be a violation of the U.S. Constitution, which forbids presidents from accepting emoluments, compensation, from foreign governments. The president's legal team has previously argued that when a foreign government pays the president at his Washington, D.C. hotel, it's legal because the trade constitutes a value-for-value exchange. Trump gets money, and the officials get a place to stay. In the San Francisco office tower, however, it's harder to make that case. Trump apparently still receives the money, and the Qatar Investment Authority gets an empty office space that it does not seem to need. Close to the time that workers were renovating the 43rd floor, the president's attitude toward the Gulf nation changed. In April 2018, Trump welcomed Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, the ruler of Qatar, to the Oval Office. On this visit, the U.S. president commended Qatar for fighting against terrorism funding.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?